It's amazing because it's anointed, but to see where God's taken each different person is just a joy for us as pastors. So that's really special. But we're going to welcome Kathy up here, if you'll come up here. Woo! We love you.
Love you.
All right. Hey, y'all. I was born and raised Catholic in an itty-bitty town in northeast Pennsylvania by two people who adored and loved me. Just, I wasn't raised in a broken home. I wasn't raised in an abusive home. And I was born and raised Catholic, so I thought God was in the sky. And when I was about four, my grandfather died, and my grandmother was sad, and I told her we were going to fly to heaven, and I was going to take her to see God. And that's kind of how I believed that God was. God was in the sky, and he watched over me. And as I got older, it's like, okay, he's in the sky, he's watching over me, he doesn't really see me. And I believed in God because I had to believe in God. That's what I was told to do. And then I hit my teen years, and alcohol was introduced into my life. And as the more I drank, the more ugly I felt and unloved I felt, and still knew there was God, and yep, he loved me, but he just didn't like me. And as I grew older, drugs also became part of my story. And I was drinking and doing drugs to get rid of that feeling of unworthiness. I was too fat, I was too ugly, I was too stupid, I was too smart, I wasn't, you know, it was just everything, I was too something. And so I lived for years drinking and using drugs, and the more I drank and used drugs, the angrier I got, and I was just angry all the time, where I eventually, in my adult life, decided to completely, you know, God didn't love me. God didn't love me. God didn't like me. God wasn't there for me because I had a pocket God. God, if you get me out of this, I'll do that. God, if you give me this boyfriend, I'll do this. If you make me pass this test, I'll do that. So God, you know, and you don't bargain with God, as I saw later on in my life. So as an adult, my solution to everything was to, with the exception of murder, but if you technically think about it, I really murdered my spirit. So I broke all his commandments. So God couldn't possibly love or forgive me. He could love and forgive you. He couldn't love and forgive me. And to top it off, then I decided to allow the two people in my life who I knew loved me to believe that I was dead for 11 years. I was doing them a favor. I was a worthless piece of crap that nobody loved and nobody wanted to be around. And I was doing the world a favor by taking myself out of these people who did love me. And in the meantime, I've got this seed in the back of my mind that God loves you. God's always loved you. And I would push it away, but then I would get drunk and sit and watch Joel Osteen. And at the end of Joel's service, it was, you know, if we believe, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, we believe you've been saved. And I would say that, and then the same crap would happen to me, because after I said that, I'd go out and do things that were not God ordained. That was my life. That was just, and it just got progressively worse, and I got progressively more angry, and I broke more of God's commandments, and I broke, and it wasn't even that that bothered me. I was too, well, at least I don't steal, and then I stole. Well, at least I don't commit adultery, and I committed adultery. Well, at least I don't do, and it was all this, at least I don't do that, because I could never own up to what I actually did. So 2.5 years ago, I chose jail as a housing option because I was homeless. I was a mess. I was almost half my size. I was 105 pounds. And I also, again, in the back of my mind, God, somebody told me all you had to do was cry out to God. And he would show up. So I'm in jail. And I'm like, dear God, there's got to be more to life than this. There has to be. And I poured my guts out to this poor little girl who was sitting there. And I told her all the lies. I mean, you tell yourself these lies and you start to believe them. So I told her everything, especially about how, you know, my parents didn't turn their backs on me. I turned my backs on them, just like God never turned his back on me. I turned my back on him. God's sitting there going like this the whole time. So she looked, but she said, you selfish so-and-so, write to your mother and father and tell them you're not dead. And I did. I wrote, you know, and I said, I didn't ask them for anything. I said, I'm going to ask God and you to forgive me. And so I get a letter back from my dad. We knew you weren't dead. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't have any education, really. I mean, Catholics, not bashing Catholics, but they don't teach the Bible. They don't. So I didn't have any real, like, what am I going to do? But the more I was asking God to forgive me, and yes, in jail I did pick up a Bible, because that's what you do. God is in jail. He's everywhere. But he seems to hang out in jail. He does. He's got... As I was in jail asking, oh my gosh, and I didn't want to get out of jail. All these other girls are going, okay, can't wait to get out. And I'm going, I've got nowhere to go. I reached out to the same little girl and go, what would you suggest? And she's like, you're a mess. I got into a rehab program down where I was in Pelham, Georgia. You know, they were going to help me find a job. I get a phone call because that's the jail. I was in Mayberry. So I get a phone call and I got my job back up here in Atlanta, with this stipulation of, you know, you get yourself into a program, you get clean, you get right with, you know, the world. I had stolen $15,000 from this woman and she hired me back. Through this rehab program of this woman that I had used with, and I walked in and I looked at her, I was like, I know you. So she introduced me to AA, and then I was introduced to a woman who I asked to be my sponsor, and I couldn't choke out the words, help me. That's just been one of my greatest problems. I got this. I can do this all on my own. And I asked this woman to help me. And you believe in God? Yep. Do you believe he loves you? Nope. I just don't. And she's just like, let me teach you something. And she taught me. I admitted I was powerless over everything, but mostly drugs and alcohol. It was over time that I came to believe that God could restore me. And it's not that I wanted anything back. I was like, God, there's got to be something better than what I'm doing. I tried to kill myself, couldn't die. I took 51 sleeping pills and drank a fifth of vodka. I woke up and I was like, God doesn't want me, Satan doesn't want me, I'm done. The wonderful people in the crisis center told me it was 52 sleeping pills was the key. So I was extremely angry that I woke up. I was extremely angry. But anyway, so it was through AA that this lady said, come here, let me introduce you to somebody. And she introduced me to God. And the thing about it is, God can't unlove me. And she taught me to stop fighting a fight that's already been won. You are loved and you are forgiven. Now, just because I'm forgiven doesn't mean everything's going to be peachy and sunny. I had to do my work. I had to ask people to forgive me. I had to say, I was wrong for stealing money from you. What can I do to make it right? And through that, through the making amends, through to becoming, to believing that there is a power greater than me, and I don't have to be God anymore. I want to help him. I do. I don't have to. And when I surrender, I couldn't understand surrendering my will and my life. All that it is my thinking and my actions. And I'm like, you can have it. My thinking and my actions have gotten me here. And the key is, I see God everywhere. I never saw God, never thought he liked me. I hid from God, but now I see him everywhere. And through this introduction to this wonderful, loving God that just wants me to do right, whatever I believe and he has me believe, there are certain rules and regulations in a good human's mind that you don't go and rob the old lady. But he doesn't judge me as harshly as I judge me. And if I am just willing to listen to him and be willing to change and do what I believe he wants me to do, and God will talk to you through every media possible. He talks through people. He talks through songs. He talks through Facebook. He talks through TV. Something that you read, somebody pops into your head. That's not you just thinking of somebody. That's God going, you know what? Maybe you need to call that person. So my life was good as a baby and got horrible, horrible. I was out of my parents' lives. Like I said, for 12 years, I let them believe I was dead. But I have been out of people's lives since I was 13 years old. And it took me to the 48 years old to actually discover who I am. I am a beautiful, loved child of God. Yeah. And my purpose in life is to show somebody else they are a beautiful, loved child of God. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter who you've harmed, you're forgiven for that. You may not ever have that person in your life. You may not. I have amends that did not go well, but and I don't blame them. But my job as a good Christian, and my job is to help somebody else. And a year ago, I met the man that God has been holding in his palm of his hands for me, who was a wonderful child of God, and we went to church together, and I never understood that you could be second best in somebody's life, that you could be second and be good with that, because you had to love me the most, and I was not lovable. But he loves God more than he loves me, and I'm so okay with that. And I gave my life, finally as an adult a year ago, gave my life over to God and to Christ and was baptized. And then we found this church. If I leave you with nothing else, stop fighting the fight that's already been won. He loves you. You are forgiven. You may not be forgiven by humans, but you're forgiven by God, and you start your day fresh every single day. And if you trust him, clean your house and help others, your life will take on such a new meaning. I can't keep this to myself. I have to help other people. I have to tell them what God did to me. That is my purpose. Thank you.
Next.
That is hard to follow. So I'm the gentle one, apparently. Wow, God is good. I am thankful to be here. We have tried scheduling this quite a few times. I got a new job about a month and a half ago, and they kept trying to send me to Chicago, and I'm like, they won't nail down the dates or anything, and so finally it worked, and then they changed my schedule again, and now instead of Chicago, I'm going to Newark next week, so who knows. But anyways, thank you for Kathy. That was amazing. That was awesome. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Marietta. I have two younger brothers. We did not get along at all growing up. We are all competitive, and we just fought all the time. My family was very much an argumentative family. We just fought. We just didn't have that bond that some brothers and sisters do. I kind of grew up in church. I kind of didn't. My mom would take us every once in a while growing up, and then slowly over time that kind of went away. But I was saved at 13. My dad and I never had a great relationship. He was very disengaged. When he was engaged, he was yelling and angry. And I always wanted to impress him. I did everything to live up to whatever standard that he had for me, that he would finally be proud. I played softball and traveled on the best teams and did great in school, and it was just never enough. Nothing that I could do would make him proud or make him love me. He never told me he loved me or anything. So I always thought, like, God, there's nothing I can do to measure up to get you to love me. So in high school, I had great friends. I lived a very sheltered life. I wasn't really exposed to anything. And when I went to college, I went to UGA. That was an interesting environment and a lot different than what I was used to. I had great friends in high school, but the friends that I met in college were not so great. I, again, this feeling of insecurity and not measuring up and not being enough and trying to do enough to get them to want to stay and be my friend was always there. And my sophomore year in college, my life changed because I started having feelings for my female roommate. And unlike a lot of people that I've talked to, this was not something that I knew since 6 years old. This was something new, and honestly, it was devastating for me, because I grew up in a family that said that I was going to hell. So it spiraled into my life. I became very depressed. I isolated myself. and just tried to convince myself that I was straight. I fell away from God because I knew he couldn't love me. I'm gay. I felt a lot of shame, and I thought that I couldn't be gay and Christian. Throughout my college life, I thought about suicide. I isolated myself, yet I felt lonely at the same time. It's funny how the devil does that. I had severe depression. By the time I finally graduated, I moved back home to Marietta, and I was still very much struggling, and now I was back in the house of my parents, who I knew didn't accept me. And so I decided to go to therapy. I decided to see a psychiatrist and a psychologist. Over 2 years that I saw both of them, the psychiatrist at the end of it had me on 17 different pills a day. That was crazy. The medicine was awful. If I did not take it, once every 24 hours, I would have flashes through my vision, extreme headaches, debilitating headaches, nausea, dizziness. I could not function if I did not take this medicine. So I was in bondage. I felt better emotionally, but without taking these pills, I could not function otherwise. I talked a lot to my therapist about being gay and Christian, and one day we were discussing it, and she was like, you know, why don't you reach out to pastors of gay churches in Atlanta? I'm like, wait, those exist? Like, how is that even possible? And so I did, and I reached out to a few, and Pastor Keith was the first one to respond. He said, this Sunday, I am doing a teaching on how you can be gay and Christian. That's you, God, because that is not me. And I went, and we were in the old building. We had the evening services back then, and I went by myself, and Jill Bennett was the first person to greet me. I immediately felt at home, and it's been 5.5 years since that day. God has completely changed my life. I have restoration with him. I have restoration with my brothers, who I actually never had a relationship with. We now have one. Those fake friends that I had in college, I have real friends. I have friends that we have gone through some hard stuff, and they're there. They're still around, and I don't ever have to feel like I have to do enough. I don't have to measure up. I don't have to do so many things just to keep you around. I'm accepted and I'm loved, and that's amazing. When I went to therapy, I was diagnosed with a major depressive disorder and seasonal affective disorder. And seasonal affective disorder is commonly known as the winter blues. From about October to March, you want to isolate yourself, extreme depression, and it's all about the sun, not being closer. When I started coming to TGPA, that medicine that they were giving me that held me in bondage that I had to take every 24 hours on the dot, I quit it cold turkey. Cold turkey. That is so good. So this past January, I got an awesome opportunity to attend the healing and wholeness class with Jen and Angela. God is amazing because I didn't join until like the very last second. I didn't even know if they were going to have a slot, but God knows what he's doing. I learned so much. Guys, if you haven't taken that class, it is incredible, and you will get so much out of it. I learned how to journal. I learned how to trust God on a new level and really be open and honest with him. I had never really poured out myself to him before and been so candid. I learned a lot. I had a new level of trust with him, and it really helped me. Now, this past winter, the seasonal affective disorder didn't go away. In fact, it was the hardest winter of my life. And all I wanted to do was isolate myself into a dark room and just not talk to anyone. And I had periods of that where I didn't reach out. But the difference was that I had God, and I had these tools that I'd learned in this class, that I wasn't doing it alone, that I wasn't in this period alone, that he was walking with me every single step of the way. And he got me through it. And I would, like, years ago, I would always, like, horizons are my thing. They're so beautiful. And I just see, like, that's God's painting. You know, it's gorgeous. And I would see him in that, and he would just kind of remind me, like, I'm here. You're not alone. Look at this. And you don't have to feel abandoned. You don't have to feel insecure or struggle with being single. Like, you are so loved, and I love you, and I'm going to show you that in every way. Even though I still struggled, I knew I wasn't alone, and he got me through it, and he got me through it without medication. During that time when I was really struggling and I was journaling with God, I said, you know, one thing I learned from the class is you tell God, you know, what's going on, and then you say, God, what do you think about this? What do you think? And when I was telling him about this feeling of abandonment and not being enough and all of that, he said, stop living in fear of abandonment, but live with abandonment. And for me, that means let go of everything. Let go of your fear, your insecurities. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of what feels right. And just live for God. Trust God. If he's calling you to be a disciple in any way, go do it. Live with abandonment of anything that's holding you back. That's how I kind of took that. So I don't think that there's any coincidence that we're reading Multiply right now. I think it's perfect timing. That's basically my testimony, and I thank you for listening.
I just wanted to say one thing before Pastor Keith comes back up here and we close. But I got to tell you, Kathy, do you know, and if anyone else is sitting here, God can do so much more with someone who says, Lord, you know, I'm a mess. I don't know what to do, but Father, do something here, than someone who has it all together. Do you believe that? I can't tell you how incredibly grateful I am that the Lord can take this and do something with it. And what's so amazing is I can't claim anything for myself because I'm like, Lord, I don't even know how you did it. But praise God, you're doing it. Amen. So if you get anything from these testimonies today, walk away knowing that you don't have to be any kind of way, any kind of body, but God can use an open, willing vessel. Period. And he wants you and he loves you. And Tracy Sheffield, don't even get me started. This girl right here is one of the most amazing women I've ever met in my life. And you just don't even know sometimes where people come from, even ones you're close to. And I got to tell you, she is the best friend to anybody who wants to be her friend. She is one of my very best and closest, dearest friends. And you know, I am blown away with the gifts and the outpouring she's given to me. And you know what? Has she believed the lies of the enemy? What a difference it would have made to his kingdom. I can look at the faces here and I know the ones that he has impacted through this woman right here. And if we are willing to step out and say, Lord, I'm not going to settle for these lies anymore, but I am going to trust you and I'm just going to give it to you and see what you do. He will not fail you. He won't fail you. He can't do it. So don't leave here today feeling like you're unwanted or unloved or not talented or not gifts. This girl right here came out of UGA, which, you know, God can still use that. We're friends. I can do it. We can do it. And now she is accomplished at work. She's a musician. She's a painter. She's an artist. She's a friend. She's a minister. She's, and the enemy wanted to say, you can't do any of these things. But you know what? God says, yes, you can.
Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Whew, praise God. I love Testimony Sundays. And it's amazing how the two of them went together. It's awesome. God, what a blessing, huh? You know, she had the opportunity to even stop coming here because of offense. Somebody did some things really bad to her and mean to her, and she could have stopped coming, but she chose not to. I'm coming for God, I'm not coming for this person. We've all just seen such a change in you. It's just amazing. Father, we thank you for every person here. I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for Tracy. I thank you for all the ones that you continue to do different things in our lives. We thank you for the testimony of each person here because we overcome by two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.